everyone, and welcome back to the Next Lander Watchcast. Bradley Shoemaker, Vinny Caravella, it has taken 159 episodes for us to finally get to the most important question I will ever ask either one of you. Are you down with the sickness?
Thank you for taking that one.
Yeah.
Can I also get an...
I don't know if I can.
Which immediately goes after the...
That might be the most I've ever heard of that song.
Hold on. Can I do my... it's like...
Give me your best.
Okay, it's like... Let the bodies hit the My Last Resort.
Yeah.
Is that the My Last Resort song?
Yes. Last Resort is in there.
Is that the Cut My Life Into Pieces?
Yes.
That line's not in the movie though, right?
No.
No, they don't do the Cut My Life Into Pieces. They cut to Last Resort like midway through the song. You do get the beginning of Blood Brothers by Papa Roach though. So
like that was
on the Tony Hawk 2 soundtrack.
Like all of that style of, is that all metal? Would you call all of that?
It's all new metal. All of that is new metal.
Like that era of nu metal is so extremely not my scene, but I still recognized every one of those songs just on the basis of their reputation. This soundtrack is the most who's who of cliched, and I don't mean cliched in a judgmental way. I just mean I'm not going to say they're bad. I'm just going to say these songs have been referenced so many times.
Mm-hmm.
Not believe how many of them they crammed onto one soundtrack.
It is the most Dragon Ball Z AMV soundtrack.
Yes, exactly that.
That has ever been made. Maybe a Naruto AMV as well. I'm who can say?
But at the same time, though, this movie we're talking about, by the way, this week's movie, Jet Li's The One. I don't mean he directed it. I mean he's in a lot of it. So let's just call it Jet Li's The One. But this is 2001. Like, Down with the Sickness has been out for, like, I don't know, a couple of years at this point. Like, same with Bodies. So at this point, they are really at the vanguard of licensing new metal and putting it at the forefront of your movie with this one.
No, look, this movie is way more Dragon Ball AMV than just the soundtrack in a lot of ways. So, like, look, it probably comes by it, honestly. And maybe they're a pioneer in this field.
What if I told you this director went on, just to remind you, to make the live-action Dragon Ball movie?
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying James Wong has a lot to answer for, okay?
This movie is dumb.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Wait. He's the Final Destination guy, right?
Yes, we talked about this. This is Destination guy's movie, the one they made right after
this
it.
This is the movie he made right after that. What?
Yes. They went from Final Destination to this.
Basically the same movie. I don't know. It's the same movie. Squint. It's the same movie.
Folks, The One. 2001's The One, starring Jet Li, Jason Statham, Delroy Lindo, Carla Gugino, and some other people. This is a post-Matrix movie in the most profoundly post-Matrix way you could possibly ask for without literally putting them in a computer.
Good God, man. Except it lacks any and all of the Matrix's cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It has maybe 5% of its cool at most.
Is this, if I were making a new list, this might be near the top, but I posit to you too, is this the most 2001 movie we have watched now?
It's up there.
I think it has to be.
It's got fucking Al Gore and George Bush in it, as well as all these new metal songs.
Uh-huh. And somehow George Bush is into universal health care, which doesn't seem right.
President Bush addressed the joint session of Congress today, where he outlined the White House plan for universal health care.
That George W. Bush presenting his plan to Congress for universal health care is the dumbest in a good way, on the nose, like multiverse shit in this entire movie.
You want to talk about some of the other, we'll get into the actual movie here in a second, but just since we're on this subject, in the original script that called for some like forlorn NBA team finally winning the championship, and then probably they got that out of that because the NBA didn't want to play ball for obvious reasons. Then they changed it to something else, and then they changed it again 2 months before the movie came out, because 2 months before the movie came out was 9/11. And what they originally had was Yasser Arafat on the TV screen and them saying that Israel and Palestine were celebrating 50 years of peace.
Many such cases of things having to pivot at the very last minute. You remember Metal Gear Solid 2 had to cut like the entire endgame out and redo it because of 9/11? Like a lot of things had to pivot very quickly.
So is this the reality they're in, and not to jump ahead too much to the actual movie before we get there, but is not our reality?
I don't think we should explore
that as we go through it. Yeah, because that is a bigger question than I can answer right now.
All right, fair.
Yeah, we'll talk about the nature of these realities and some such as we go along here. So real quick, before we get into the production stuff, I had seen this movie. It had been ages. Another one of those like random cable watches someday, and just said, this was really dumb, and then I promptly forgot about it. Vinny, you said you had seen this before as well.
I really thought I had seen this. I may have seen this. It's still debatable whether or not I had seen this, because there's not really a lot of meat on the bone here.
This is very insubstantial.
So I had known the whole concept of it and basically the whole plot, but then there were scenes in here that I was watching and things that I must have just not realized at the time. Jason Statham, I had totally forgotten was in this movie. Jason Statham's accent, he forgot was in this movie. There are things in this movie I just like blocked out that I was felt like I was seeing for the first time, but maybe I was seeing it with new eyes for the first time.
Yeah, so my partner had definitely seen this movie as well, but she was conflating it with a different movie, specifically the one where Jet Li is kept as some sort of martial arts slave by, I think, Bob Hoskins.
What?
It's called Unleashed from 2005. It was written by Luc Besson, of all people.
Wow.
And she's like, I don't want to watch that. That's like the Jet Li slave movie. And I'm like, that's not that you're thinking of a totally different. They're pretty close in proximity, but they are very different films that are also just bad in different ways. Brad, you had never seen this before.
I had not.
Okay.
And I want to figure out, does this movie exist in the wake of The Matrix, or is this, well, actually I can already say the answer to this question is yes.
Mm-hmm.
Is this movie part of the continuum of the influx of Hong Kong action stars into Hollywood that happened starting in the late 90s?
So
like it's definitely that as well. I mean, this was not Jet Li's first big movie here.
No, that was in 98. That was Lethal Weapon 4. And so let me answer both questions here. Despite what James Wong says on the commentary for this movie, which I'll just say right now, you don't need to go listen to it. It's fairly dull unless you're really into the minutiae of why they lit certain things certain ways. But what he says was, we didn't want to make, you know, I really like The Matrix, but we didn't want to just do The Matrix. You know, we didn't want to just rip off The Matrix and the bullet time and all that stuff. And then as I sat there watching it while he was saying this, I was like, are you listening to yourself right now? Like, they are literally doing Matrix kicks through like half this movie.
And bullet time.
Yeah.
Dodging bullets.
Yep, they sure. Except not, maybe not quite as high tech.
No.
Yeah, no.
Now, on the other point, yes, this is a few years into Jet Li's Hollywood career, but I would say the years between 97, 98, and like mid-2000s was absolute peak. We are bringing in all these Chinese action stars and just trying to get them into any old bullshit we can.
Yeah, so like this, watching this made me start trying to think back and pinpoint what started that, or like what was the success that kicked that off? Was it Rush
Rumble
Hour?
Rumble in the Bronx.
Well, oh, really?
Was That's that what
before,
I think.
Was that before Rush Hour?
Yes. So Rumble in the Bronx was officially a Hong Kong production, though obviously it was set in America.
Yeah.
But it was a dubbed movie from what I remember. And then Miramax bought the rights to that, if I remember correctly, and brought it out here. And the goal was, let's get Jackie Chan over as an American action star with that. And then a couple of the movies that came after that. And Rush Hour was not long after Rumble. So that was when he started getting American roles.
Right. Like Rush Hour was the first like American production he blew up in. Right.
Yeah. And then Chow Yun-Fat and Jet Li came not long after that. And also, I believe Michelle Yeoh came along not too long after that as well. And that's when it really started taking off.
And also, I mean, it's kind of slightly different genre, but Crouching Tiger was not that long after. I mean, even though that's more like wuxia pageantry than like crazy all out action. But still, like just there was a huge like Hong Kong and Kung Fu sort of vibe in Hollywood for a while there.
I mean, it was one of those things that like, if you were an action-oriented person at all, you had probably imported some videotapes or whatever else from Hong Kong. Like, people who were in the action scene knew these stars. They knew these movies. They had just never tried to put them in front of a mainstream American audience until, you know, Jackie Chan kind of took hold. And, you know, after that turned out real well, they're like, well, shit, we got to get all these people out here. Now, Jet Li, I think, unfortunately, of all the big top-line stars that kind of made it over to Hollywood, I feel like he's the most misused of all of them. Like, there are a couple of movies I would say he's pretty enjoyable in. Like, the first Expendables, he's pretty fun in. Lethal Weapon 4 is not a great movie, but he makes a pretty imposing bad guy in that. But a lot of his stuff in the US is kind of this caliber, like middle budget action movie that just doesn't have much of a script or much of an idea of what to do with him in particular. And so they rely on the fact that he's so physically gifted and he has these connections to people like Corey Yuen, who is the fight choreographer here. And they can make these scenes out of this stuff, but the actual movies are just junk. Like, there's just not really anything that interesting or exciting about them.
Yeah, this movie is way less good and way less substantial than I would have guessed based on, like, kind of hearing about it at the time or the marketing it got or whatever. I don't know what it was that made me think in my mind, like, oh, that's probably, like, a pretty respected action movie, right? Like, eh, maybe not.
No. The action is, like, at times okay, but it never really hits the heights of even, like, some of the better Hollywood stuff that other Chinese stars were doing.
Definitely, I had remembered this being a little more novel or a little more interesting, I think. And while it's goofy and fun and entertaining, I don't think it is doing anything that novel or interesting. Maybe at the time, though, it did have a little more pizzazz.
I think it's the multiverse thing that is maybe the most novel at the time. It's not that multiverse is like didn't exist in media at that point, but you didn't really see them in like big movies that much because it's sort of like one of those concepts that you have to take a second to explain to people. And they weren't big on that back then.
Yeah, we don't need that anymore.
Definitely see how they get there in the wake of the Matrix. Wanting to do something Matrix-like, but not exactly. It's like, well, they had an alternate reality and a mystery around what's real and which level are you in. Like, we can't do exactly that, but what if we do this other thing that's kind of like that that also lets us have superpowers?
I mean, calling it The One after The Matrix is Neo, The One, I mean, it doesn't really get a lot more shameless than that, I feel like.
Yeah. Maybe the biggest problem with this, like, there's not a lot of fighting in this. Like Jet Li, I don't think I've ever seen Jet Li in anything before. When the martial arts begins in the sparse moments that it does, I'm like, fuck yeah, let's go. And then I realize, like, you've kind of hamstrung yourself when your very talented martial arts action star has to fight himself for the entire movie.
Yeah.
Especially really, with this technology, right?
Yeah. Granted, I mean, they do some, I'm sure some of those shots toward the end is another actor where you just can't see the face. So they can have some real. They do have some real two people on the set fighting each other, but there's so many of the fighting scenes in this have to be like by necessity, some kind of weird artificial special effects thing and not just real choreography.
Like every once in a while, a little bit of his real natural ability comes out and you can see it, but then they just start slathering on the greasy CG and like the kind of janky wire work that is definitely not the best you will see of this.
Yeah. I mean, he sells it pretty well for what he's working with. Like, I mean, I guess we'll get into it, but like that, I think it's right near the beginning that kind of hero shot of the like the slow-mo of him like knocking a bunch of cops up into the air and then kicking them out of the way. Like he sells the moves very well, but at the end of the day, you're still watching like CG cops flying around.
Oh, and the animation on those cops when they hit the ground, like the weird writhing animation they do is like the most sub PS2 game fucking movement you have ever seen. I mean, I understand they were working with a different technology set back then, but it's just rough to go back to.
Yes, for sure. Like, a lot of the wire work looks...
It's, like, some of it's okay, some of it is very not okay.
It depends what you're going for, right? Like, I think it's not okay for the vibe they're going for, where it would be okay in more Hong Kong action stuff, right? Where it's like, oh, this is kind of silly, and they're going over the top. But it kind of, this movie kind of takes itself seriously.
I mean, it's a lot of macho posturing in the way some of the other movies we've done this month can be, but I just don't think it has enough juice for that.
Yeah.
I mean, look, the pitch for this movie, I assume, was what if it was Time Cop but The Matrix? I mean, that's basically what the whole thing is. Now, James Wong doesn't say anything to that effect on the commentary and really doesn't say too much about why they went into this project as their next thing. Like, he barely talks about what the creative inspirations were, like why he wanted to tell this particular story or any of that. Really just doesn't get into the nitty gritty, which leads me to believe maybe he wasn't really thinking that hard about it when him and Glenn Morgan were writing this. But as we mentioned, this is Glenn Morgan and James Wong. These are the guys from The X-Files and Millennium, and also most recently A Final Destination for Watchcasters. And when they wrote this movie, they did not necessarily write it with Jet Li in mind. There was a different star that they had attached originally. Brad Shoemaker, you looked this up ahead of time. I would love it if you gave me the reveal on this.
Originally, the film was to have starred Dwayne The Rock Johnson before Li assumed the lead role.
Okay.
Different movie with him.
Yeah.
That would be a pretty different movie.
Yeah.
Also, was he even really acting a lot then?
Not much.
That has to be like way at the beginning of his film career.
It's pretty early on, so much so that the reason he detached himself from this project was he went and signed on to do The Mummy Returns, which is basically the launching pad for his movie career, like that and like The Rundown, which is a much better movie than Mummy Returns. But I'm not saying he should have been in this movie. I'm just saying, he kind of traded one bit of weird CG bullshit for the other,
Yeah, right, yeah.
So as I mentioned, Corey Yuen was the fight choreographer on this. He has worked with Jet Li as well as a host of other Chinese stars. And for Watchcast fans out there, if you're keeping track, he was the director of both Yes, Madam and Righting Wrongs.
Hmm. Great. I love both of those movies.
Much better fighting in those movies, too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'll just mention real quick here, the only real notable thing they did in terms of like trying to give differentiation between the different versions of Law is that the two ones that we mostly see in the movie have very distinct kung fu fighting styles that are different from one another.
I would not have picked up on that until the kind of final confrontation where they make that very explicit.
Like, they show it a little bit during that, like, kind of weird training montage in the middle where, like, Yu Law is up on the rooftop and then, like, our Gabe Law is hanging out in his house. But so the one Yu Law uses, and I'm going to do my best Chinese pronunciations here. Please don't yell at me if they're bad. Jing Yi Quan, known as the Shape Will Fist, is characterized primarily by very aggressive linear movements. Whereas Bagua Zhang, the 8 trigram palms, uses much more subtle circular movements because Gabe believes in the circle of life.
He does. His grandfather taught him about that.
Mm-hmm. Whereas Yu Law just wants to stab and punch his way through everything. I kind of don't want to spend too much time talking about the cast because a lot of these people had long careers prior to when we were even, like this movie. It's not like many people made their debuts here. So we'll just talk about people as they come into the movie. And at the beginning of the movie here, well, actually at the very beginning, we get this opening credits description of everything that this universe is and why things are like this.
There is not one universe. There are many. A multiverse. We have the technology to travel between universes, but travel is highly restricted and policed. There is not one you, there are many. Each of us exists in present time in parallel universes. There was balance in the system, but now a force exists who seeks to destroy the balance so that he can become the one.
Because apparently test audiences can't be confused for more than 5 seconds without leaving negative feedback.
Oh, well, like you said, like we were early in the multiverse here, right?
Mm-hmm. So in this multiverse, new universes are created every time a star collapses. And right now there are 125 of them, which doesn't seem like a lot, honestly, for how old the universe is. And probably how many stars have collapsed.
What is that? That stuff is, I mean, we don't need to get into the cosmology of this movie's multiverse. Like, what the fuck does that mean? Stars in which universe? Any universe?
I think any universe, I guess.
And is the implication that a new universe is spawned, like copied from the universe in which the supernova took place? Or is it a new universe that is like big banging from the jump and has to evolve over billions of years? You know what I mean? Like, This makes no sense. Like the description as presented is completely kind of nonsensical.
I'll give you another one.
Mm-hmm.
All the universes seem to be kind of, I don't know if they're also doing time travel, but they all seem to be at the same point.
Right. That's what I mean.
You know, in the timeline.
Like, that's what I mean. So like, does a new universe, like, is it just a copy of the one that it spawned from and then it branches from there, or?
Oh, like cloned, like at the same moment.
That seems like probably the closest you're going to get to a real explanation.
Yeah. I think you just thought more about this than anybody.
That's what I mean, because the alternative is that a new universe is starting from nothing and has to go through billions of years of cosmic evolution before life can form, et cetera, et cetera. Again, I don't give a shit, to be clear.
Yeah.
It's just that this is an hour and 27-minute movie, and we gotta find something to talk about.
If this were in 2025, I almost guarantee they would have said, if they want to keep the star stuff, that it splits the timeline instead of saying creates a new universe, right? That it fractures the timeline. Right.
That makes sense.
And then from the same branch, now you have two timelines.
I think
right? The
problem you're talking about is calling them universes instead of timelines. Like that is exactly the thing that kind of breaks the explanations they are going for here. Because if you're thinking about an entire new universe, that is a much harder thing to dial in on than just say, hey, your timeline split.
Yeah. Also, like, where does the MVA exist? Like, are they just in one of a million universes? They're not, like, because it almost seems like the authority exists in some, like,
pocket,
level of reality above all of the universes.
So this is all made dumber coming to this now by the fact that Rick and Morty has basically, like, chewed up this concept and spit it out several times over. Like, it's such a parody of itself now that it barely matters. But what I will say is that I think what is happening here, they describe uninitiated universes, which is to say, I think some of them know about the multiverse and most of them don't.
Sure.
So probably one of them is just the police universe, you know?
Because they say, and I think it's in the intro, they say, like, we learned how to, you know, jump universes or whatever.
Yeah. Right. And the majority of them just don't know anything about it.
Yeah. Like, it's like the Star Trek First Contact thing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We're gonna read these people into how all this stuff works now.
And how this stuff works is that in whatever timeline we are initially introduced to, I'm not going to try and keep track of the code words they have for them. They're all based on constellations and stars, except for one of them, which is the Anubis universe. But regardless, in that universe, the very purple universe we were first introduced to, Al Gore is president, and Jet Li is a different flavor of evil than the one we get through most of the movie.
It's so on the nose.
Mm-hmm.
President Gore addressed the joint session of Congress today, where he outlined the White House plan.
And also the cop escorting him is that guy who's been in a bunch of stuff, and I wish he were in this movie
Dean
more.
Dean Norris, yes.
Oh, Dean Norris, yeah.
Most notably of Breaking Bad fame, but also a variety of other things.
Yeah, he's like, again, does nothing here, really, except die.
I don't think there's ever been a man more typecast as a riot cop.
Like, or detective, or just angry cop in general.
Isn't he one? He's one of the riot cops in Terminator 2, isn't he?
He might be. I don't really remember. I think you might be right.
I think in like almost exactly the same getup, if I'm not mistaken, like the same face shield, like in Cyberdyne with the grenade launcher and everything, the gas grenades.
I don't know. I don't know that he had like this almost like samurai style helmet thing going on in that one, because there is something like I kind of love the bad future cop SWAT uniforms here, even though it's not the future. But you know what I mean?
He is in T2. I just confirmed.
Okay, anyway.
Good. Great. This whole scene makes no sense.
What doesn't make sense to you? Like,
okay. Well, okay. First of all, do you want me to go? I'll go through it. As we learn later.
Okay.
This version of law should have a lot of power. Like, this version of law should be near where the other two laws are.
Because we're down to three at this point.
We're down
to
three, yeah. So this one should be able to hold his own. Maybe it's an exponential growth. I don't know, but...
Well, it is an exponential growth, but I think the other thing, and they don't really say this, but this is just the vibe I got because of the way that hero Jet Li in this movie sort of reacts to his burgeoning powers, is that I think if you don't know you're getting the powers, you probably don't know you have that level of strength.
Yeah, but this guy seems to know. It seems like he's done some bad shit. And they kind of restrain him in ways that are like, oh man, this guy's bad news. The other thing that's just is very silly with all their riot gear and this really severe looking police state aesthetic going on is when that guy chucks a knife at him, they just run him out of the prison and don't stop, and they're like, dude, you're fucking dead. What are you doing throwing a knife at my prisoner? They're like, oh no, we gotta run.
They'll get him later, it's fine.
They're gonna attack the prisoner.
It is a little confusing because the law that's not the villain here is also a criminal, like also a hardened bad guy. So like it is a little confusing who you're supposed to think is the antagonist. Maybe that was intentional, but
I think that is intentional.
It just kind of made it feel a little muddled to me that you're not sure which one of the laws here is the one that you think is going to be the villain until, of course, one of them dies and that kind of...
Right. I mean, they're trying to fake you out a little bit. Again, it kind of goes to that intentional confusion thing where, like, that opening crawl was not in the original version, but audiences were, like, confused, and they don't like being confused, and studios especially don't like audiences being confused. So they're not going to let them be confused for more than a few seconds.
So before we move on, I have to point out one of my favorite dumb things in this movie, although maybe somebody's going to like yell at the radio that this is actually a real thing. These cops appear to have a combination assault rifle and shotgun.
Uh-huh.
It straight up just has two barrels sticking out of it.
So, fun fact about these guns, they were prototypes for real guns.
Oh, wow. Huh.
I forget the name of the company. It was an automatic shotgun, basically, that they had that was being prototyped, I assume, for like military use. And then they had to give them back when they were done. I'm not sure these guns ever went to market.
Dude, this would unbalance first-person shooters.
Oh, yeah.
for all time. Yep. Couldn't have this gun in there.
So what happens in this intro sequence is they are carting prisoner Jet Li out of the prison. As you said, one of the prisoners throws a knife at him. I guess he's a snitch. That's what they're going with here. So, the prisoner who throws the knife ends up being a cop in the hero Jet Li universe.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Do you recognize that actor who plays the cop slash prisoner?
No, but when he's walking TK around the house, I kept thinking this guy looks awfully familiar to me.
We have seen him in a Watchcast thing.
Okay.
Specifically, he is the prison warden from Twin Peaks: The Return.
Oh. Okay.
The one that Mr. C gets out of.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and then they go and assassinate him in his home later.
Yes, yeah, right. Yeah. Yes, of course.
So anyway, this is an earlier role for him. But so when they are bringing him into the parking garage where they are going to load him up into their police SUV and take him to, I don't know, court or whatever it is they're going to do with him.
I think they're transferring him, right?
Yeah, they're transferring him. But Jet Li, prisoner, senses something in the vents.
Something's wrong.
Prisoner down!
And what he senses is the bodies hitting the floor.
And they do. And they certainly do.
Let the bodies hit the floor.
Like, the one Jet Li, supposed to be very, very, very smart.
U-Law is what they call him in the script. U-Law.
Yeah, it's like U-Law and Gabe, I guess, are probably the best ways to refer to these two.
I will not be referring to any other law by their given name. I will just say what wig they're wearing.
Even the one with the dreadlocks.
Yeah.
Gabe Law is not, sorry for my ignorance here. Gabe Law is not the character from Tekken, right? It's not.
No, it's Martial Law is the.
Martial Law.
Yep. Okay, sorry. Much better. I'm glad I asked. Yep, no regrets.
Oh, dude.
Okay.
Martial Law, one of the best video game character names of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sorry. Moving on.
Martial Law, also the name of a U.S. Sammo Hung TV series that was on for a few seasons.
U-Law, supposed to be very smart, but like this hiding in the ducks assassination thing, while I guess in the end effective, maybe not the best move he keeps trying for every law assassination.
No, and also I'm going to say from an audience perspective, the amount of time they spend focusing the camera on a fucking air vent that just keeps getting more and more bullet holes in it is not the most thrilling thing you could do.
I mean, that was the moment I was able to marvel at this weird combo gun, but yeah.
it's just not that exciting. But when he bursts out of there, ready to... I mean, he's already assassinated, prisoner guy by shooting him in the eye. Yeah. Now he just needs to beat up some cops. And this is the first taste you get of what the special effects in this movie are going to be like, because he just starts doing Matrix kicks to all these cops and floating them in the air.
And now watching this again for the first time, I'm just more bummed out by this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I was watching it the first time, I didn't know what was to come. But now knowing what the totality of the movie is, I kind of wish it was more of a conventional martial arts film. Because again, watching Jet Li do these moves, I'm like, man, this guy can really do these moves.
Yeah.
I would love to see more of him just actually fighting somebody, but you don't get enough of that.
I would call Jet Li one of the most physically gifted performers to ever come out of Chinese cinema in any context. And it is a real bummer the way they choose to apply that here.
I mean, like the stuff, for as old as it is, it doesn't look terrible.
No, I mean, they're reasonably judicious about where they apply it. It's just that because of the technology of the time, it looks kind of clunky in places where it wouldn't now.
Yeah, if you kind of like look at the CG cops flying through the air, they don't look amazing, but
there's something hokey about most of the effects.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like him running looks like real dumb. his 50-mile-an-hour sprint.
Oh, that whole sequence of him running out of there trying to fast cut him in a way that makes him look like he's faster is not good.
That's one of the funniest moments of the movie is when the cop, when he starts running and the cop is like,
holy shit, he's doing 50.
And then there's that shitty, whatever, I don't even know what that effect is. But then after that, they just show him running normally like a guy. It's like, you're not selling the 50 miles an hour anymore.
They just make the cars go slow. Like, hey, have all these cars drive very slowly.
Yeah. But that was the moment I realized, like, maybe the movie was, like, stretching a little bit beyond its grasp.
I would say maybe far more beyond its grasp. But I will say, let me be real. This movie had a $49 million budget in 2001. They spent some money on this thing.
Uh-huh.
And it did actually make money, believe it or not. It was lightly profitable.
Like Brad said, there was a lot of hype and talk about this movie.
Yeah.
Like,
shouldn't have been, but there was.
A lot of marketing.
Yeah. He does manage to outrun the cops that are chasing him. And then he is accosted by our universe cops. I want to call them time cops because it's just so much easier, but they are universe cops. Dilray Lindo, Jason Statham, and their Winamp phone.
Dude, that fucking PDA is the most turn-of-the-century MTV motion graphics ass thing or like Flash webpage menu design I have ever seen in my life.
Honestly, I think it kind of kicks ass.
It's a little like Xbox Blades, right? Mm-hmm. It's a little
kinda,
like...
or like proto-Xbox Blades. Yeah. Like, objectively, I hate it.
Yeah.
But it is definitely very much a time and place, like... Like, boy, that's a kitschy throwback.
You know, this just pinpointed something for me. You talked about this being like maybe the most 2001 thing we've ever seen.
Yeah.
I think this might spiritually be the most Xbox coded movie that is not actually licensed to be a video game.
Sure.
I don't know how to explain it except to say this is Generation Remix.
I mean, the Xbox was trying to be the most 2000 thing anybody had ever seen.
This movie is not far off from the launch of the first Xbox. When did exactly what
2001
month did this movie? No, what month did this come out?
November.
Dude, I think this came out within days of the original Xbox.
Like, instead of there is a place in this movie where Jay Allard could be walking in or have a line, right? Instead of your mortician, we'll talk about it later.
Yeah,
he could have been Jay Allard in there too. You know,
yeah.
This movie came out less than 2 weeks before the original Xbox.
Great.
What a November, folks!
It's an Xbox launch movie.
Now that was a November to remember.
Well, we're gonna take our break here in a second, but let's talk about what happens when he gets sucked up into the universe juice.
Yeah, I looked at the cast like moments before we started recording here, I did not recognize Dilray Lindo.
Really?
Which I just don't know him that well, but we did just come off of Sinners.
Yeah.
Which I thought he like was an excellent in, although he's definitely playing an extremely different character.
Oh yeah.
He's much older as well.
Yeah, he's much older there. Dilray Lindo, truly terrific actor. Who is another one of those actors that will just sign up for any old bullshit you're willing to pay him for, but I'm never unhappy to see him because he always seems like he's having at least a little bit of fun with what he's doing. This is maybe the least amount of fun I've ever seen Dilray Lindo have with a role.
He's going to the hole. We just got to get there, override him before he jumps.
Just give him the go-ahead. He'll never make it to the hole.
Check fire. You stick to procedure, Bunch. You were recruited to apprehend him, not be his assassin. You understand that? Bunch, I can't hear you. Do you understand that?
Loud and clear.
I was kind of thinking that too, but also Jason Statham, his partner, also kind of sucks in this. Like,
they're terrible in this.
They're two very capable actors that you could actually make a fun movie with.
Yeah,
and they have zero chemistry and zero fun in this movie.
I started to maybe realize why Jason Statham does the same movie over and over now, having seen this, because like. He's maybe going for some things he can't pull off in this. And this is even another action movie.
In his wheelhouse, you would think.
Maybe we are recognizing some of the limits of his range here.
I'm going to give this to the script in the movie direction and not Jason.
Well, there's two things.
Go ahead.
Well, there's two things here. One, I do think Statham has a little bit of range, but outside of the action realm, it's mostly in comedy. I think he's actually pretty funny when he wants to be.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Definitely.
The other thing, and again, I could not, the commentary sort of lightly jokes about this, but nobody seemed to want to take responsibility for it. I think they put it on the studio. Nobody wants to take responsibility for him having an American accent in this movie. Nobody will pinpoint why that is.
That's actually it. I don't think he's bad in this so much as his accent is just not working.
Hands high! 30 seconds, Rodecker! You must be the new guy. Where is Rudek?
This is your last warning. Get your hands where I can see them.
It's not working, and it's also not there at times. Like, in this scene,
yeah,
I didn't clock at all that he was trying to do American. Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. He just kind of can't do it. Like, his actual accent is just coming through constantly.
But also, and maybe this is too early in the Statham-verse, but like, also
Statham-verse.
the way he talks and his accent is so great. Generally, it's such a Jason Statham thing. It's like taking Sean Connery and telling him to do a different accent. Right?
Yeah.
It's like Jason Schwarzenegger. Statham.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. It's like such a defining thing. And maybe again, this might've been too early for it to be, but like, him saying those, doing a Jason Statham impression is half the fun.
Yes.
Him in a movie.
Yeah.
But here, instead, and I'll say, when you do catch that it is American, it's like Looney Tunes American.
This place is shaped like this. You believe this is the only universe. There's not just one universe. There's a multiverse. Every time a massive star dies and becomes a black hole, a new universe is created. They've learned to forecast, like the weather, where and when a black hole will occur. Momentary bridge between parallel universes. Travel is restricted. They created an agency to police the multiverse. I'm a multiverse agent.
It sounds like somebody broke his jaw and he's having, or somebody put like a,
there
like
are 125 multiverses. I can't even do it because it doesn't sound like any one American accent. It sounds like seven at once.
My wife and I were really genuinely, she called it first. She's like, why is he doing an American accent? I'm like, he's not doing it. And then like back and forth, because he doesn't have that many lines.
No.
But towards the end, he has a real long bit. And we're like, oh my God, I think he is trying to do one. It's hard to parse.
Yeah. It's like Boston and Long Island and a little Southern and some Chicago in there. Like, it's just all of them at once.
Look, they allude to this later on. Maybe that's just his murder world. The accent from his murder planet.
This is like post his big Guy Ritchie breakout roles, right?
Mm-hmm. Again, like, this and Ghosts of Mars are both 2001. Right, they are two of the movies he did in the immediate wake of that success.
Like those movies just kind of proved how to use Jason Statham, right?
Yeah, make him British.
Right, just make him be the most, like, what's the word we're looking for here? Just like the most limey fuck.
Yeah, absolutely.
Imaginable.
Yeah, 100%.
Like that's what he's good at.
And like, let him have a little charm. Let him wink.
Even if it's sleazy, that's fine. Yeah. You can do sleazy charm with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Like, there's nothing to grasp onto with these characters. They're just there to try and arrest evil Jet Li, and it seems to kind of work.
Anyway, you mentioned the effect of them traveling universes.
Oh my God.
Definitely the funniest thing in this movie. Like the fact that they make their portal, their traveling to their universe animation thing. Just like dying watching it again.
I mean,
and it's like it kind of so goes painful.
It kind of goes to your Vinny, your transporter terror. The thing of like, it seems like that it is annihilating your particles in the process.
It's like the Star Trek transporter. If you felt every single millisecond of your atoms being ripped apart and beamed across space, like I want to see. I want to see the pre-visual effects footage of the actors just like screaming and shaking and like whipping their heads back and forth for like minutes at a time.
Like in another movie, this is the culmination at the end of the movie of how the bad guy dies, right?
Yes.
Like this is like, oh yeah, yes. No, the bad guy like it, fucked up the teleportation and like got disintegrated.
And it's so long and they just keep screaming. It's so fucking funny.
I don't hate this effect. Like it's so weird. I kind of am okay with it. I think the sequence of events that leads up to them finally getting sucked into the portal is weirdly confusing and not in like the, oh, just let the audience be confused way. Like they show up, they have their future guns, they're putting their targets on him. You don't really know what the red or the blue one means in any real context. And they kind of just disappear. They're tapping on their watches. They're like changing things around like so that they teleport to the right universe that they want to go to. But a lot of that isn't really communicated well in the sequence of events here at all.
Yeah, like they show the technology in this close up enough that you think it's going to factor into the plot a lot more than it does. But yeah, it never really factors, actually.
No, and it's just not well communicated. Boy, do they get sucked up into the sky.
Scream their whole way through.
Yeah, and we'll find out what happens when their bodies hit the floor after we take our break. We will be right back. Oh, All right, we are back. Welcome to Police Universe, where the universe cops live.
This place also seems dumb.
Yeah.
It's pretty dumb. A lot of these costumes look like they were just pulled off of the fucking rack from the Demolition Man set.
But Demolition Man is fun.
Yes, it's a better movie. I know by wide margin, yes.
And their dumb, like, sanitized police future is, like, very, very silly. And this doesn't seem like it's going for that. This seems like somehow this is working and...
Oh, I don't know. Did you see those wigs they put Jet Li in?
Okay, that part's pretty funny.
I'm pulling from, like, very poorly remembered... Like, I haven't seen these movies in a very long time. Is there a little bit of, like, a Bill and Ted thing going on here? Or is that completely off base?
I'd say Bill and Ted's is a lot more foamy and, like, big, okay, dumb future clothes. This has more to do, like, the citizens of San Angeles is really what these people kind of feel like.
Okay.
But, yes, they arrive at the police universe, and then U-Law is put on trial for 123 murders of himself. And we get the greatest sequence in this movie, which is the cavalcade of Jet Li's in different wigs.
Oh, yeah. That's good stuff.
Victim 117, Yu Fook Law, Monoceros Universe. Victim 118, Sven Law, Tucana Universe.
They know what they're doing here, at least.
Like, he looks like he's having so much fun with this.
Yes. He's got such a shit-eating grin. On his face with the dreadlocks.
Yeah.
Like, I think the blonde one might be my favorite.
Like, this movie could have been more fun if they had leaned a little more into the alternate identity stuff and also the, like, George W. Bush universal healthcare. Just, like, look at the wacky differences in these multiverses. But then again, they don't spend that much time in multiple realities, I guess.
No, they don't. And this is all really just to kind of get Jet Li off to his final target. 125 alternate timelines really is such a specific number, but I guess if you were going to pitch this idea, you do have to have an achievable number of murders to hit, right?
I guess so. I mean,
like, it can't be infinite, because if you just have to do this forever, you will never be the one.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe let's say there's 125 known, you know, that they tracked.
I don't know. It kind of sounds like there's only two of them left.
Yeah. I mean, they were getting pretty strong.
Yeah. Well, what they're going to do is they are going to send him to the Hades planet, the Stygian prison facility, which I guess is just where they send all their universal criminals. And so they put him in a big chair, and then he gets to make a long speech about it.
The multiverse, every universe in it, is irrational, sloppy. I just try to make it rational. I just try to make it neat. You call it murder. How could I murder myself? 123 times. I just took those wasted energies and put them into one container. Me. It made me faster, smarter, stronger. What if that is our fate? To unite with our other selves. Unify forever. To be one. I will be the one.
And in strolls Carla Gugino.
Is that her here? She was the other one, like Delroy Lindo, that when I saw the cast list, I was like, oh my god, that was her?
Yep.
Did not recognize her.
I didn't recognize her. My wife did, though. Clocked her.
Did, right, like, away. Sexy jazz trumpets start going off in her head when she started sauntering into this execution chamber or whatever it is?
Were they in my head, or are they actually in the movie? Because
they're not in,
like,
the movie.
Okay, because they feel like that's what they're going for.
I definitely heard wah, 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 wah as soon as she walked in.
Or like the old Beastcast Corrections music. Wah, wah.
Yep, 100%. Yeah. Now, we don't know why she's there, though she has red hair, so clearly she's evil. And what we learn is that, because we don't know who this character is in the other universes, we don't know anything about them. So when she busts out that rat, I'm like, what are you doing here?
Oh, that poor rat.
That rat with the antenna up its butt, or coming out of its butt?
It has a bomb in it, Benny.
You think we might have shorter wire whip antennas or something we could figure out?
No, they hadn't mastered Wi-Fi by this point.
It's also the dumbest thing. Like,
Did you also see how big those rats' balls are?
I did not see that.
They're very prominently featured in a couple of shots.
Oh, I know. I didn't see the rat balls. It was like, what a dumb way to do this, but sure, okay.
Look, it's dumb.
Gabriel Yulaw, are you ready?
Are you?
The second that hit and everything exploded, the sound that came out of my... I had forgotten about this part. The sound that came out of my mouth watching it was akin to the soul leaving the body. It was like a death rattle. Like... But a laugh at the same time. Like, I almost fell off the couch.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Yeah. It's pretty good needle drop.
I think the needle drops actually give this movie, like, a full star rating higher than I would give it otherwise.
Sure. Hey, yeah, sure.
It still only makes it about 1.5 stars, but still.
Yeah.
But, yes, Down with the Sickness plays as the room explodes and Jet Li kicks everyone's fucking ass and then, gets his ass to the last timeline.
Yeah, doesn't really interact with that woman much at all. I mean, I think she blows him a kiss, right? And then it's like, I'm out.
I mean, she's there to help him, so it's like she doesn't really care as long as he goes on and becomes the one, I guess.
I guess. She's a believer. True believer.
So that sends our procedure-obsessed Delroy Lindo and less procedure-obsessed Jason Statham off to the last universe. And it resets the scenery, but it's a little different than the last time we were here.
I was wrong. We can very definitively answer the question.
Time travel.
Gabe is not from our universe, or this is not our reality. Because this is the Republicans want universal health care universe.
Well, that's what I meant. Like, is it? Yeah,
I'd forgotten.
Maybe it's only a little bit different.
Yeah,
I had forgotten which universe that paired with is what I mean.
Oh, also, I was going to mention also, I thought we were talking about the time travel. Does he go back in time, or is this universe a little, a little behind?
Just a little behind, I guess.
He's already escaped at this point.
They never say time travel anywhere in this movie. They never say anything about changing the where you are in time.
Yeah. I mean, he's got enough time to get there and hide in the fucking ductwork again.
Yeah. It worked last time. Why not try it again?
Do they know a lot about that? Oh, who cares? All right, move on.
I mean, who cares? Yeah, who there cares? You go. That finally, you're coming around to what you actually need to think about this movie. Oh, fucking cares.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely.
This time, it's not an evil Jet Li getting taken out of the prison cell. It's some other guy who is the snitch. But when they bring that guy down, guess who's one of the riot cops? Gabe Law. Nice guy, Jet Li. So a lot of this scene is just them going through the beats of the same sort of like prison transfer thing as the first time, but it's different now, and that's how you know it's a multiverse. I don't have a problem with them doing that. It's like you said, the weird time out of sync thing is a little weird, but in a screenplay, just doing something clever kind of way, I'm like, okay, sure, I'll just go with this.
Yeah.
My problem with the sequence, when they get down to the parking garage and repeat the shootout, nothing misses the point of Jet Li more than giving him a big gun.
Yeah. Kind of thinking that, watching this, Chow Yun-Fat, like, gun guy.
Yeah, right? 100%. And it's not that Jet Li isn't good with guns. It's that giving him a big, bulky assault rifle he can't really move around that well with just hamstrings him.
Like, kind of wasting his talent, right?
Yeah. And granted, they give him more opportunities to stretch later on, but I'm just saying this scene is just kind of a dud for me because it's just not that interesting in any way. Like, we've seen versions of this before already. Shooting the air vent, as previously established, not that interesting. And Jet Li doesn't actually get to do anything that cool here.
No, it's a way, kind of way less cool than the original one. He kind of just runs away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess you get the sense that this Gabe Law is on his shit now. This isn't going to be a walk in the park for you, Law.
No.
This is a dedicated cop.
Yeah.
It's a dedicated cop who is starting to become vaguely aware that he is stronger than he should be.
Yeah, I mean, he scales that wall, kind of just jumps over it, almost.
But it doesn't seem like he's ever really thought about doing that before. He just kind of does it, and no one has ever seen him acting, like, stronger, more powerful before. So it's like, it's an awakening, shall we say.
Also, if you're going to do your razor wire, you got to make it look less like rubber.
It's so rubbery. Yeah. Oh my God.
Well, he's got a lot of layers on.
No, it just looks like rubber.
It looks terrible.
Is that shot of Yulaw jumping, like just flipping over that wall? Is that a wire shot?
I think it is. I can't tell. It could also just be, you know, the computer lifting the guy up or something, but I think it's a wire shot.
Yeah, it looks too good for that. It looks like he's actually there.
Yeah.
On the set, jumping over the wall.
Well, Gabe Law doesn't fully know what he is yet or what's going on here, but he does have a very nice home life with TK, also played by Carla Gugino.
Do you ever find out what TK stands for?
I don't think so.
I'm always curious about, like, unconventional name abbreviations, you know?
Yeah, I don't think they ever actually say what it is. And their home life seems pretty picturesque and pretty happy. Like, they seem happily married. She speaks a little Chinese to him. You know, she's like, hey, you should go to the hospital because you did just kind of climb over a wall and there was razor wire and that guy did kind of kick your ass. So maybe you should get help.
And he was shot in the vest.
He was shot in the vest. Yeah.
Gabe. Oh, my God.
I'm okay.
Aldrich called. He said you were in the hospital.
Yeah, I was.
What, they checked you out?
I checked myself. Nothing to check. See? I just need to get myself clear. Hey, Ali.
You were shot. You need to be examined.
You can do it.
Newsflash, I'm a vet. You don't have paws and a tail. Hey, with the stuff that's been happening to you, you need to see someone.
I'm seeing the only person I need to see.
I'm serious.
Where is she?
正经点好不好?
Okay. We'll go to the hospital, check on Wu. After I'm done.
你说的。
And he's like, you can check me out. And he's like, she's like, I'm a vet. And there you go, folks. That's why she had a rat in the other universe.
Oh. Mm.
That's it. She's an animal person in every universe. That's it.
Okay.
It's just she's an evil one in that other one.
Oh, boy. Evil animal scientist. Got it.
Yeah. Anyway, so they go back to the hospital. They're going to check him out. And they have to go through this very laborious bit of getting him set up for an MRI. And look, it's not that this scene is, like, unbearable or anything. I actually think the character actress who plays the nurse, Harriet Sansom Harris, who is both an X-Files and Millennium alum, so that's probably why they know her, I think she's fun. I always like seeing her and stuff.
Yeah.
And she's having fun with this very dumb bit.
My gun.
No guns. No jewelry. No belt buckles. No zippers.
The hospital has it.
You're going in for an MRI. Gabe?
Remember what I said? I feel it again.
When you're done, we'll go down and we'll get your things, all right?
They're not giving her your gun.
The guys are downstairs. They can get the gun.
And even if they did, you're not bringing it in here. That's a powerful, precise, expensive magnet.
TK.
All right. If you start the MRI, I'll find the guys.
Lose the wedding ring.
Real hard ass.
Yeah. But there's so much time spent on the, you have to take all your metal off. No, don't give me a gun. I'm a nurse. Like, give the gun to someone else.
This whole setup was belabored enough to give me time to think about how I would deal with getting an MRI. Like, man, it probably would be really hard not to move a muscle for 10 minutes. I would think about it so much that I would have a hard time not
doing. Have you never had one?
No.
Oh,
I have.
I have as well. So. A couple. They're not. So,
Christ's sake, you're getting an MRI, not a heart transplant.
I had one, and I remember just a quick story. The machine was smaller than this. My last one I had was not that long ago. Mm-hmm. And it was when I had that neck surgery. And I get claustrophobic. I don't like tight spaces.
Me either.
And apparently the person administering it, the tech, I had closed my eyes as I was going into the machine, and she must have been able to see me kind of sweating it a bit. I was super nervous, and I just feel a tap on the back of my head, and she's like, it's right here. The exit is right here. You're like so close to it. And it really made me feel better. It was very nice of her to do that.
Yeah. Both the MRIs I've had, I was worried going in that the claustrophobia was going to overtake me. It didn't. I will say, having music in there helped.
Yeah.
And the last time I got one, the guy was like, hey, what kind of music would you like me to play? And just as a joke, I was like, do you have any like Scandinavian experimental jazz? And he just, where I would have hoped he laughed, he just kind of stared blankly and was like, I'll just put on some Top 40 for you.
Look, he's got a lot of work to do, okay?
Yeah, he doesn't need my bullshit. Yeah. I understand.
This is all reminding me of a very unpleasant MRI story I heard about a family friend recently.
Oh,
okay.
No. Oh, no.
You want to tell it? You don't have to.
The gist is that this is an older person who had dental work several like decades ago where some metal had been left in their jaw that they were unaware of.
Oh, no. Oh, oh no. I don't want to hear
until
the rest of this.
Until they got into the machine.
Oh, this is like some freaking...
That had to be discontinued very quickly.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Okay. Well.
Yeah. Spread.
No, it's fair. I will also say, I think
that person's okay, right?
Yes, they're fine. Okay.
I believe the most recent Final Destination movie also has a pretty good example of MRI horror, if you're into that sort of thing.
Great.
Anyway, there's no real MRI horror to speak of in this. The horror is Evil Law going to show up and murk Good Law while he's in the MRI machine?
This is not our first look at the MVA's like future space guns, but it's probably our like first like up close look at them in action.
Yeah.
I feel like these guns are just emblematic of everything this movie is doing. They just took regular guns and slapped a blue light on there.
Yeah. And made them chromier.
And then, but they still just shoot regular blanks on the set, and then they put a little zap sound over top of it.
Totally. That is 100% what they do.
That's the extent of the effort they put into their space guns.
Yeah, and again, I'm never really quite clear if like the space guns are supposed to do anything different than just shooting regular guns. Like, are they non-lethal bullets? Are they trying to, like, with the targets, you never actually see a shot hit one of the targets. Every time they paint the target on them, the target disappears before the guns ever start shooting.
There's at least one scene where they're kind of like firing into the pavement where you kind of get the sense that like they're taking bigger chunks out of the pavement than it seems like a regular bullet would. So you kind of get the sense these are probably stronger guns. But
they're not supposed to kill him.
That's what they keep saying. So I assume there's some sort of like non-lethal option they can turn on there.
My read on the blue-red targeting thing was that like red was a lethal shot and blue was not.
Sure. Again, it's the visual language they use to communicate what they are doing that sometimes I feel like is just not fully clear. But what is clear is that U-Law is coming in here and he's ready to wreck shop in this MRI spot, and we're going to have a little fight here.
How do we feel about the whole surveillance cam thing?
Not really that interesting for how long it drags it out.
Well, but I just, is it too on the nose? Like this security guard just conveniently turned his head at the exact right moment to not see that there are two laws in the mix here.
I feel like it's unnecessary because it doesn't go anywhere.
Like all you could cut those scenes and just say nobody saw the other guy walk out.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, that's kind of what I mean. It's a little bit cheesy. The guy literally just like turns his head at the exact moment that Gabe comes running out and then turns back to look at the monitor again.
But it doesn't like, I guess if you were going to keep that in, it's interesting to bring it up too, because I hadn't even think about it, but like it doesn't go too far with I'm the real law.
Yeah. Right.
They don't do that.
That's
that
exactly
much.
Like they make it so obvious to point out that like, hey, nobody saw that there are two of them here that I thought it was going to be a bigger focus of the plot that they're like, surely we're going to get a climactic scene where both laws finally show up in front of all the cops. And then like, oh, this is what's going on.
It happens with TK for like a half a second.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, but there's not much of a payoff to that.
No, they're not really interested in any of that. What they are interested in is this idea that the cops still think that their law has gone crazy or something weird is happening and is working against his own best. So they're all trying to just like get him under wraps so they can put him back in the MRI machine or whatever.
They
and
really
they just kicks all their fucking asses.
Gabe, I'm okay. I'm all right.
Don't move, Gabe. We're here to help you.
I said, I'm all right.
Do you know where you are?
What's wrong with you?
Where are you, Gabe?
Look, there are three armed men. They killed the security officer.
Do you know who we are?
They went down the hallway.
What's my name, Gabe?
I was unarmed. I couldn't go after them.
What did you do with the gun?
I don't have one. I asked TK to get it.
You all wouldn't have known that. This one's safer in their custody. Let them take him.
Get you some help before you hurt yourself.
Or anyone else.
Anyone else? Someone tried to kill me. Please. I don't want to hurt you guys.
Gabe.
They really turn on that fucker in a second, though, right?
Yeah.
This whole, like, you start this scene with them all being like, TK, we love Law, or like, Law, we love you so much, or like, what might as well be like, come over for Christmas, have like, my kids love you, everything. And then when he's at the MRI after that, they're like, put the fucking gun down, Law.
Yeah.
The fucking, you're okay, everything's okay, and try to jack him with some sedative or something.
I do quite enjoy the cop handcuff pretzel.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. This is some prime Jet Li type stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. Or like from what we watched during that Hong Kong cinema stuff, like
feels like something straight out of one of those movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that stuff is cool. It's not the coolest thing he's ever done by any stretch, but at least like gestures toward why you would have Jet Li in your movie to begin with.
by the standards of this movie, it's one of the cooler things.
Yeah. And it's reasonably well edited. Like, it's something is after watching Doomsday and the insane frenetic editing they were doing there, at least here everything kind of tracks and you can see what they're doing.
So this is after Ghosts of Mars, right?
Yeah, same year. I think Ghosts of Mars came out slightly before this.
I wonder if Statham's doing something with his hair here. It looks thicker in this than it did in Ghosts of Mars. I wonder if they used the Shatner spray to thicken it up.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe he might just be a little more grown out.
He had hair for a while. I will say my partner rejects the idea of hair Statham.
He's a beautiful bald man.
Yeah. She just rejects it like a bad organ. But yeah, so like there's this confrontation. Eventually, good Jet Li gets away, but is now pursued by his own cop friends. And how did evil Jet Li get away? The morgue.
Right. Yes.
I am desperately searching. I meant to do this before, and I forgot. I am desperately searching the credits to figure out who these guys are.
Wait, the morgue?
Oh, you don't know?
Oh, I'm so ready. I love this.
I'm so ready. Okay.
Hang on. Hang on.
No, I don't want to. I want to tell you.
Don't tell me. Hang on.
Okay.
Wait.
The one I'll say is the shorter guy. I don't think he's anyone you would recognize.
You sure?
He's in some X-Files and some other stuff, but he's not like a big actor.
My first thought was it's Mark, what's his name, from American Movie, but...
Oh, no, I'm talking about the shorter guy.
No. I mean the other guy. I don't know who the shorter guy is.
Yes.
Is that actually him?
That's Mark Borchert.
You've seen that new video Mr. Fanny's been a-plugging? It's pretty hot.
Dude, I like Janine, but you don't do guys, man. That girl-girl stuff gets old.
Okay, I thought that's who it was originally, but I was like, there's no way. That's too improbable. Like, that cannot be the case.
It super is.
Okay. All right.
We did actually talk about him being in that when we did American Movie, but as like a random, but it was just like an aside.
I had forgotten.
When did American Movie come out?
98.
Oh, okay. So there was time for him to get into this.
Or 99, one of those two.
Okay.
Yeah.
The other guy might have been in some X-Files or something.
He was in some X-Files. Yeah. Okay. He was an actor that I think Wong and Morgan had worked with a decent number of times.
I feel like I recognize him from some X-Files or other.
I did. Honestly, the entire reason I listened to the commentary was hoping there was an explanation for how Mark Borchert ended up in this movie. There is none. All Wong says is, if you've never seen American Movie, it's an amazing movie, really funny, and he was in it.
Okay. Fair.
It's about him.
All right. True.
And then no one asks a follow-up question of like, well, how did he end up here or anything? It's just like, nope, just happened.
Funny they even have this scene because it raises more questions than it answers about his escape. They could have just shown him outside.
It doesn't really seem very necessary, any of this. The jokes they're telling, the bit of him busting out of the body bag, Mark Borchert fainting in the most like fucking cartoonish way.
But who put him in a body bag?
Him, I guess.
He put himself in a body bag?
He hid himself in a body bag, yeah.
Why?
So that people wouldn't know he was there.
And put himself on the table? Ridiculous. Yeah. Ridiculous.
Anyway, it's a goofy cameo. Yeah. I don't love the writing here, but this is definitely what dipshit dudes of this time would generally sound like talking to one another, so sure, I guess.
Yes, still very 2000.
Yeah. But, so the next bit here is the... Okay, so they have split up, the two not-time cops. Delroy Lindo and Jason Statham had to sync a device, which is another one of those visual language things where I feel like they do not do a good job of communicating what this device is actually meant to signal.
Yeah.
But we have to sync them. And Delroy Lindo is going to go after evil law. Jason Statham is going to go after good law. And whenever the twain meet, hopefully they're probably just going to end up killing both of them because they can't have a one running around. Doesn't matter which one it is.
Well, they don't know that, though, because it's never been done before.
Right, but they're trying to stop it.
Yeah. But I mean, not to jump to the end, I was a little bummed the movie never actually explores the idea of what happens when there is a one.
Yeah.
Like, we never actually get there.
Well, that was for the sequel, obviously.
Of course.
The one, two. Yeah, there you go.
So yes, Evil Law steals an ambulance, does not like this universe's radio for the most part, until they get to the new metal station.
Uh-huh.
I think that's an Edema song, if I had to guess.
That was bopping.
Or it's a different Drowning Pool song. I think, I don't know. There's two Drowning Pool songs in this movie, if that tells you anything about the music licensing budget. They originally wanted Britney Spears' Baby One More Time for the musical stinger here. it was too expensive.
Ah, okay.
But yeah, so like Statham's pursuing good law. Delroy Lindo is pursuing bad law.
It's your exposition dumps.
Yeah, this is where you learn your exposition dumps, because Jason Statham basically just explains the entire law of this universe to law.
In this universe, you're you. Another you don't exist. Another you're married to the same woman. Another you're married to a different woman. Another you're married to a man. Hey, there's an energy. String, a wave, connecting all those lines. We all have one. One between you and him. It's gotten stronger. You've been feeling him, haven't you?
You know, Harry, nobody's proved that what happened to me is a bad thing. You've killed 123 people. I'd say that was a very bad thing, you law. Plus, you don't know what would happen if you killed this one. His death could destroy the whole system, but I guess that doesn't matter.
I know. Everything must be balanced. Blah, 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 the party law. What do you think would happen?
Some people think you'd explode. Some people think you'd implode.
You're missing one.
Some people think you become a god.
That's the one.
Yeah, and the same with Delroy Lindo just kind of goes into the backstory here. Like, hey, some people say if you're the one, the universe will explode. Some people say, and he's like, and some people say I'll be a god, right? And it's like, okay. And I think you get is this where you get the, like, we used to be partners and I accidentally killed one of my clones and got more powerful?
Yeah, they do explain the whole thing of evil Jet Li was part of the future universe cops, killed one of his own versions of himself, not really intentionally, and then realized, oh wait, I feel a little better now.
Yeah, you get some of that early on in the space jail where Delroy Lindo is just like, or Ulaw's like, you were there for my first kill, and he's like, I wish I hadn't let there be a second.
Yeah.
Like all that stuff.
Here's a question that I have about all of this. Do you get those powers if your double dies of natural causes?
It's never happened before. Don't think about it.
I don't know.
Like, think about how many Carlo Gugino's die in this movie.
Right. Let's just not think about it too hard.
Do you have to kill one of yourselves in order for the power to transfer that way?
I'll say yes.
Yeah.
All right, we'll go with that.
But actually, no, because they say that when one of them dies, the power is split between the others.
Right.
And the others were not there enacting the kill themselves, and they still got powers.
So what happens if along and long enough timeline, all the other versions of yourself die in all the other universes, and you're the last one left through no actual machinations of your own?
Maybe there's a cosmic thread, Alex, where all the deaths occur simultaneously. Like if you're almost like a Final Destination, right? Like if you're fated to die in one universe, you're fated to die in the arc of the universe. And the only thing that can interrupt that is a universal intrusion by another character to disrupt.
Dying before your time.
Yes, you die before your time.
Maybe Olympic athletes and Nobel-winning scientists and people like that have had a lot of their other selves die in other universes.
You're saying Michael Jordan is the one?
Yes.
Oh, man.
I'm saying in another timeline, there was a jackass version of Albert Einstein that kept like trying to do weird stunts and kept killing himself. And then the one we got was super brainy.
Yeah, because all the other ones died.
Like everything else, the movie doesn't care.
No.
You could easily just say like, oh, it has to be one person killing another of themselves to trigger the effect, and only then does the power accrue to all the others.
Mm-hmm. I'm bringing this up not because I think the movie actually cares about this stuff or it's really that interesting. It's the second you insert multiverse into anything, these are the dumb questions you have to ask, because obviously they're not thinking that hard about it. But the only reason you should care about this is, well, wait, how does that work? How does that work? Like trying to piece all these things together in a way that they did not care about.
Yeah. Particularly in a movie where there's like not all that much to talk about.
Plot-wise, no.
Without trying to like pick apart their multiverse stuff.
No. I mean, the big thing that happens here is that evil Jet Li super fucks up Delroy Lindo and kills him.
He really gives him the business.
I do think this is maybe one of my favorite little action bits during the movie when he kicks him so hard he pulls his jacket off.
Yep.
Like it's like a dumb silly thing.
Yeah, that's always one of those like somebody got knocked out of their shoes kind of things.
Yeah,
it's like, right. Man, that was serious.
Yeah, because like because I think he ripped the jacket in half, right? Because he comes out the back of it.
That's a kind of a goofy shot, but yeah.
Yeah, but he kills him.
He kills him. And he has the little, you know, egg timer in his hand that they synced. And so I guess what this was supposed to do was when it starts blinking green, that means he has engaged evil law. And if it goes red, that means he's dead.
Sure. Yeah.
Delroy Lindo is dead.
Yes, sure. Yes.
Because Statham later is like, I'm on my own now. So clearly he knows what that means.
Wait. I'm on my own.
I'm on my own.
I'm alone now. I'm here to help you, Gabe.
Like, there's like a real, like, kind of thing going on. Like a little,
yeah. Oh, it's so bad.
The one good thing that does come out of this sequence, though, is we do get to watch Jet Li sandwich a guy with two fucking motorcycles, like wielding them like they are folding chairs.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
The cop he sandwiches looks really familiar. I hang on. I think I might know who that is.
Okay.
That's exactly who I thought it was.
Oh, okay.
It's Doug Savant from Melrose Place.
Oh my God.
That's exactly who I thought it was when I saw him on the screen the first time.
That's
exactly, yep. Uncredited, apparently, in this movie.
Ask me how many episodes of Melrose Place I've ever seen.
How many episodes?
I didn't watch a lot either. I don't even know why I know that. I think
maybe two or three.
Oh, you know what? Actually, he is a major character in Desperate Housewives, which is much more where I know him from.
Okay. Another show I've maybe seen two or three episodes of ever.
Like, I know of him as being like getting his start in Melrose Place, but I didn't really actually watch that show.
Yeah.
Desperate Housewives is fun, though.
Wait, is Desperate Housewives not reality TV?
No. You're thinking of the real Housewives.
Oh, okay. Okay, sorry.
It's like, very different.
It's like a surprisingly dark comedy.
Okay.
Like two or three times during the course of talking about this movie, we have veered off into other subjects, and that is not a thing that happens on the Watchcast a lot.
Uh-huh.
I think that's very telling about how much the plot of this movie actually matters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You could probably pick up from anywhere, and we didn't miss anything.
No, cop got sandwiched. Now we're moving on to through Carla Gugino's house.
I can get things back on track because she doesn't want the cops to drive her home because she doesn't want them to catch Gabe there.
Right.
Yeah.
Does it take them all night to drive across Los Angeles?
That's a really good question that I have no answers for.
Because the sun is coming up by the time they get her home, and like, I don't know what time they were at the hospital, but it didn't seem like it was that late.
My suspicion is that they brought her to the station overnight for protective custody, and then they brought her home in the morning ready to search and see what happened.
Yeah, sure.
I'm not saying it's very well communicated, but you're right. I had that thought as well. I don't think a lot of this fake out stuff with Jet Li is very good or interesting.
Why would he do it?
I don't know.
Why?
Well, he's trying to get to
tell me.
He's trying to get to Gabe.
Yeah,
yeah, but like,
so I guess he's hoping that she'll lead him to Gabe somehow
and bring him a gun.
Who cares?
I know.
I don't know what he needs a gun for. I mean, this guy is like Superman almost.
I mean, guns are quick at least.
Yeah.
He knows that the other law is starting to be aware of the fact that he is also strong.
Mm. Actually, the gun part to me just seemed like U-Law trying to further convince her that he's Gabe, because Gabe wanted the gun more so than U-Law needs a gun.
Yeah, fair.
But she clocks the other law outside. Now she's a little confused.
And she does the most cliche movie thing of, hey, how are you going to prove your identity to me?
How did we meet?
Jesus, Gabe. Did you ever think if we met that day at the bookstore, we'd be in this kind of mess?
Even if I knew, I still would have come in.
Wasn't a bookstore.
Just so you know, I'm going to take that gun and kill you before you can pull the trigger. There's nothing you can do except give it to me.
Aldrich!
She also, she goes pretty quickly from, well, I mean, I guess she trusts her husband, but like when Gabe tells her like the other guy is also me, she's like, you've suffered a head injury. Like this can't, what are you talking about? This can't be real. And by this point, she fully seems to be bought in and tests this guy to see if it's true. But
well, she does see the other law skulking through the bushes. So I think that's the moment she's like, oh, shit, this is real.
That's right. I forgot she had seen him.
Yeah, do you guys remember when I did that ridiculous video about Metal Gear at Game Informer with you guys when we worked there for a long time? Alex is a fake Alex. Oh, sure. Yeah. No, that was a beautiful time. Our 5 years at Game Informer were the best times of my life.
Mm-hmm.
No.
I never worked for Game Informer.
It's a, you know, It's cliche. It's a good...
It's the most obvious screenwriting choice you can make to get that scene where it needs to go, but it's like... Yeah. I think, again, that's not the problem with the scene. The problem with the scene is that once they kill Carlo Gugino, it's just like, nothing really happens. Like, they just run, and then they punch some cops, and then it's just, okay, we're split up again.
And then we're in the end sequence of the movie, basically.
Yeah, like, because now he's revenge Jet Li.
Right, but I really thought there would be some more, not payoff, like...
Or a hunt of some kind.
More attention paid to her death. Like, I really thought, like, is she actually dead? Like, surely they're going to revisit the subject of, boy, his wife just got murked.
He's very sad.
Yeah, he's upset.
He is. But I kept thinking, like, maybe she's not actually dead or something. Totally. She just is fully dead.
Look, I know.
Never get back to it.
I know the body works not like movie anatomy works, but the gun is so low when he shoots it. I really thought she was going to be just in the hospital.
Oh, that's right.
There's something.
Superman. You're not going to get that.
Or like, you know, like maybe that's really where your heart is and, or something like that.
In
like,
this universe.
Like, I don't know. But like, in movies, they usually show it explicitly, you know, when somebody's going to die, like the bullet, the blood is right like over the chest or somebody gets shot in the head. In this, she's shot in the lower back, you know, and it's like, oh, she's going to be in the hospital and he's got to save her. And that's going to be the rest of the movie. I was with you, Brad. Not until like the end of the movie was I like, oh, she's actually really dead, huh?
Nope.
Okay.
We said it multiple times. It's a short movie. It's less than 90 minutes. So I guess there's not that much territory to cover, but it's literally she dies. They get out of there. There's the one conversation at the gas station, which is like a fun scene, I guess, or at least the Delroy Lindo part is okay.
Yeah, the part where you meet this universe's Delroy Lindo as a gas station attendant is like funny enough.
And I actually think it's like a pretty interesting character moment for... Do we ever even learn these two space cops' names?
Yes. Delroy Lindo is Rodecker. Statham is Funk.
Funch. That's Funch. Right. You're right. But I actually thought it was like kind of an interesting idea that Jason Statham like clearly knows this other guy is not his Rodecker, but still goes up and like says what he needs to say to him for his own benefit. You know?
Hey, you two! Come on, check that shit!
Let's go.
What are you doing?
Permission to speak, sir. I know what I gotta do. I'll never get the chance to say thank you for squaring me away. So thank you, sir.
I'm calling the cops.
Because like the thing they say is that every one of these guys is connected by the same life energy. So even if he's not talking to one that knows him, like he feels like he's talking to the spirit of that
person. Totally. I thought there was actually something like more poetic in that moment than this movie normally would deserve.
Yeah.
Alex, I don't want to revisit this for too long, but Rodecker was killed outside of his timeline.
Yeah.
In this thing. Yeah. Does that make this Rodecker... now extra powerful as the gas station attendant?
There was not another Rodecker involved in the murder, so I'm going to say by the rules that I personally contrived, no.
Okay.
I mean, there's still the potential that there's still 123 other, 124 other Rodeckers out there, so maybe it wasn't enough of a split for them to notice.
Okay. And Brad, you're going with you need to absorb the powers directly.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Also, I feel like these elaborate space guns get way more build up here than they ever get paid off later.
Dude, he's putting so many things on that gun that never get used.
And explains about like the tracking and the like, you know,
25 rounds a second, smart tracking, blah, blah, blah. And then he shoots it later and it's just a gun.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's like mostly at that catwalk, right? You're expecting it to like go around or something.
But it's incredible though, because this scene starts at nearly the 1 hour mark. They go through this rigmarole of talking about his sadness, you know, meeting Delroy Lindo and then putting a million things on your gun. Two to 3 minutes later, we are in the fight factory.
Yeah.
And then nothing really else happens until the very end of the movie.
This is it for the movie. The next 20 minutes is climax until the little epilogue.
So this is
fight scene.
This is a real abandoned power station, I think in like Redondo Beach or something. They did put a bunch of fake machines in it to make it look more factory-like, but it is not a studio. They are doing this in a real location.
I mean, At one point, I was like, are we going to access chemicals in here?
Kind of.
The amount of, like, machines getting shot and having, like, green goo pouring out of them.
Little Joker's yeah. going to pop out.
Yeah.
Love that Joker. But no, I mean, like, I don't know what kind of factory this is. I don't really know what's going on here.
It's a fight factory, you're right.
It is a fight factory. It's a factory you have fights in. I know they say that the two remaining Jet Lis can kind of sense one another. There is a sense that, like, they kind of know where they're going. There is also this thing sort of gestured at of, like, he knows where he's going to catch the next wormhole back to whatever universe he wants to go to. So there's some of that. But it feels like they skip over an entire chunk of the movie where they would be hunting evil Jet Li and just go to a location where he is.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that sequence would have made this movie any more better, but it does feel like there is a whole element of hunting the hunter that just never happens.
It does seem like, yeah, scene missing. Now we're just here. Scene missing where we do some cool stuff with the weapons and see more fighting.
Very little happens with the weapons. The shootout stuff that happens at the beginning of this big action sequence at the beginning is kind of dumb. And the explosion, like, get in the fucking container so you don't explode stuff, is all just a little, like, confusing and dumb.
And does the watch also tell you when bombs are going off?
I guess.
Okay.
Sure. I don't know.
It's your partner's dead and the bomb is going to go off.
Yeah, this whole sequence kind of drags until they finally face off with each other, I feel like.
Also, why can't you breathe? After the bomb goes off?
I mean, it's like some weird green explosion.
Chemically?
I don't know what they're getting at there.
Was he like, don't breathe for 25 seconds?
Dog, I don't know, okay?
There's so much stuff they say in this that has no payoff at all.
Yeah.
I almost wonder if there's something about explosions like burning up too much of the oxygen and you shouldn't exhale because there will be no air to inhale back in for a minute or something. I don't know.
Sure.
Again, the movie's just not really that invested in that. Honestly, they could have just started this scene with the two of them on the catwalk and gotten roughly the same effect.
Yes, that's where it at least gets somewhat interesting because, like, finally they're just going to fight.
Yep. And so what they have done here for the big climactic Jet Li versus Jet Li fight is put them on a catwalk. Let's go to town.
One of my favorite dumb things in this movie is that I think it's Yulaw is the one who, because they've been wearing the same clothes the whole movie, of course.
Oh, right. Yeah.
One of them has to pull his jacket down because otherwise it's going to be too hard to keep track of who's who in the fight.
Yes, 100%.
It is full on some palette swap ninjas fighting game shit. Yeah.
Well, speaking of palette swaps also, so as you can imagine, a lot of this was filmed using a stunt double for Jet Li for the, you know, parts where two bodies need to be connecting with each other. This stunt performer apparently did not look anything like Jet Li. So what they ended up doing was literally painting his face and head green so that they could just face swap him in there with CG.
Wow.
Okay. I think it works.
I think it mostly works, actually.
Yeah. They pulled it off. I didn't notice that.
Yeah. They were very much like, whatever stuntman you got for him, that did not look like Jet Li on the commentary. But I think the fight, like, look, this movie is not great. The fight choreography is not great. I'm willing to say that this final fight is at least kinetic and exciting enough to where I didn't feel like I had been cheated by the end of it.
Yeah, it's like probably the best action in the movie, but that's pretty low bar.
Yeah, it's not clearing a very high bar here by any stretch.
Yeah, it moves though. It's like a fun dance, you know?
Yeah, with yourself. You're dancing with yourself like Billy Idol.
Uh-huh.
I think, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I do one of my favorite acting touches. Jet Li's performance as an actor in this, I think he's okay as Gabe. I think his evil is a little too mustache twirling for me in a lot of cases, but I do really enjoy the calisthenics he does whenever he thinks he's about to absorb a person's soul like Shang Tsung.
Oh, yeah. Just the kind of just fists in the air kind of stuff. Yeah. That's fun.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, like, well, I'm scrubbing through it again to see if I still agree with how I felt last night. Like, it maybe drags just a tad bit too long once they get down off the catwalk onto the floor.
Yeah.
I don't know. I do, like I said earlier, though, I do appreciate you actually see Gabe going into what is very clearly a different fighting style.
Yeah. When he does the little splits up and into the wide stance, pretty good.
Where like, even a layman like me can tell, like, oh, they're referencing, like, the kind of whatever sort of exercises form stuff he was doing earlier in the movie, right? Like, oh, okay, he's assuming the fighting style that he is, like, most used to, right? And now he's going to kick this guy's ass.
And he does it really fast, too. Like, there's, like, a minute, and then suddenly he punches him into the sparks machine.
Yeah. And also, that spark stuff, I feel like, is, like, a pretty good idea that they did not have the effects chops to pull off.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's a neat idea for sure.
But it definitely looks pretty cheesy in the actual execution.
Yeah.
I think, look, like I said, it's not an amazing fight. It's a good, it certainly is better than all the other fights in the movie up to this point and more exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of the only big choreographed.
Yeah, it's the blow off. It's the big blow off.
Right.
Okay, so the CG fire they put on his jacket when he has to pull it off at the end so that you now no longer can tell the difference between laws is bad. But it doesn't matter because that only lasts for about a second and then they are getting sucked up into the fucking time stream again. And now they're back in copy
I had to laugh at the pulling the jacket thing off. Like, oh, good boy.
Yep.
Like, all of the setups in this movie are just as obvious as humanly possible.
Yeah.
We got to do one more of these mistaken identity things.
Except even that doesn't really go anywhere because it's just like 30 seconds of they grab the wrong law to send to prison and then like, nope, Jason Statham stops him and that's kind of it.
Send him where he belongs.
I mean, the way he stops him is that when they put the wrong law in the chair when they're about to send him to the prison planet, he sees the wedding ring outline.
Yep.
And this law clearly never knew marital love.
Oh, stop! That's him. That's you, law.
Wormhole opens in 30 seconds.
Get him out!
And it is telegraphed very early on when he takes his ring off of the MRI, right? Mm-hmm. Like one of the few things in this movie that they actually do an insert shot of that you're
this means something.
We came back and we referenced this. Wormhole not the seeker bullets, not anything else, you know?
It is nope. None of that shit matters.
Now
Gently gets sucked up one more time.
Yeah. Or twice?
I guess, yeah, technically twice, but the first time it's to the prison planet.
Now, maybe this was me assuming too much. I thought the movie was going to end in a way that I thought was going to be very funny.
Mm-hmm.
When Jason Statham takes over the console and he's like, no, wait, I know where he needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
That man doesn't leave this room. Sir, he assisted in your lost capture.
He's from an uninitiated universe with no travel passport. He goes back.
He can't go back. They'll lock him up for life.
He will be cared for, watched over, like the other. Balance will be preserved.
The wormhole closes in 40 seconds.
Sir, permission to speak.
Permission denied. That order is bullshit.
Funch.
It doesn't matter.
Take him.
I know where he has to go. To send you where you belong. It's procedure.
And they send him to, like, very visibly Los Angeles. I mean, I know the movie has taken place in Los Angeles.
This is some Demolition Man-ass Los Angeles here.
So not only that, but also now that he has, like, he's not the one, but he's, like, kind of, he's the one half. You know, like, he's got... They like played up the Los Angelesness of it just enough that I thought that maybe he was being sent to a universe where his new powers would allow him to become cinematic action star Jet Li.
Effectively. Oh, that's funny.
I thought effectively, like, oh, is he going to become a movie star with all the powers that he's got now, doing all the shit on? They do not go in that direction.
He could like blend in. No, he saves this lovely dog.
Yeah, and, what a cute dog.
In the way that he had described his meeting of his wife the first time.
Like maybe he's going to get his old life back in some degree.
Excuse me, I have a...
What happened?
Car.
Do I know you?
In this universe, everybody dresses like they are in a Sugar Ray video, and he gets to meet his veterinarian wife. I guess in a universe where they had not met before this Jet Li died.
Oh, I missed the Welcome to Los Angeles, America's Cleanest City.
Yeah.
Signage.
We sent him to the Happy Universe.
That's funny.
I don't know how happy this place is, but apparently you can just appear in this universe and have a fantastic life without having any history or job or anything and take over somebody else's identity, and Republicans aren't going to come after you for voter fraud or dead people. Dead Law is voting. Can you believe it? This man died.
So do you think Al Gore or George W. Bush won in this universe?
Mm. Oh, no, no, neither. This is Ralph Nader.
This is the Naderverse.
Yeah.
They're in Ross Perot's second term.
Okay. Yeah, right, exactly.
Well, speaking of unsafe at any speed, let's talk about where Evil Law went, which is the prison planet, which is...
The end of Mortal Kombat?
Oh my God. End of Mortal Kombat, yeah, kind of.
The green screen on that low shot of the prisoners walking with the storm in the background looks so shitty, early 2000s.
It's really bad. Like, it looks like maybe just a hair above Mortal Kombat Annihilation in terms of, like, what they are doing with sky effects.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about this ending.
It's really dumb.
It's not great.
Fresh fish.
Got a pretty mouth.
I am Eula. I'm nobody's bitch. You are mine. I don't need to know you. You only need to know me. I will be the one.
If he dies here, is it fine? It's fine. If he dies
I don't know,
here.
Dude.
Yeah.
I don't know. The movie doesn't know.
Is it okay? We're okay if he just dies here. He's just going to beat up everybody.
I think they put too much effort into the wrong things with this ending. Yeah. Like the big pan out shot of the stupid looking, you know, other planet prison or whatever the fuck this is doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. Like they should have. For narrative purposes, they should have inverted it. You know, it should have been the prison planet gets the 32nd. Oh, he's fucked. And they spend the actual character time on good Gabe.
Yeah. Like, what is seeing this prison planet do for any of us other than, oh, well, Evil Law isn't getting out anytime soon.
And it gives us one more excuse for some more Jet Li fighting.
Yeah, which
is
fine.
And we get to play some Papa Roach.
But you can do the fighting in a thing that maybe like fits the themes of your movie a little bit better. Like when they have those other convicts walk up on him, why wouldn't you just have two of them be the same guy? Like to prove that, like go with the whole multiverse thing of like,
that'd be funny.
Hey, like that's like do visual jokes that actually fit with the themes of your movie.
Oh, that's like way more clever than anything else in this movie.
Like
this. Sorry.
No, it's just it feels like they focus on all the wrong things for this and it just doesn't land on anything.
Yeah. This last shot is incredibly long.
Yeah.
In a movie that, again, is under 90 minutes with the credits. Like, they spend, like, almost a full minute of this movie just pulling out from this fight scene and showing this dystopian prison planet.
Their murder pyramid.
But if you don't end with this, though, you don't get the ultimate stinger line, which is that, I am nobody's bitch. You are all my bitch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that famous Jet Li line.
The early aughts have a lot to answer for culturally.
I thought it was kind of amusing to see this guy adapt to his new circumstances, you know, like this guy just wants to be king of something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't care if it has to be this prison planet, then fine. He's just going to take this place over.
Yeah. If he wants to be king fuck of shit mountain, by all means.
I don't know why everybody wants to beat the shit out of him.
I mean, it's just, I assume that's just tradition there. Someone shows up, everyone beats the shit out of him.
They do have a sense as it pulls out, like you said, Brad, forever, that people are just kind of milling up to this pyramid, just like
not a lot to do.
Lunch is over. What are we going to do? Beat up the new guy?
Yeah, yeah, all right. No, he's weirdly strong, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. Get in line. Let's go.
Anyway, that's the one. What'd you guys think?
I didn't hate it, but I don't really like it either.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel.
It's just kind of there.
It isn't quite as bad as I maybe remembered it being, but it is not a good movie by nearly any measure.
Yeah, it's I think it's important as a piece of cultural history.
Ephemera.
Yeah, like it is such a time and place movie, and that's amazing.
Yeah,
few things get dated as well. Mm-hmm. As this.
Oh yeah, no, you can carbon date this thing just by watching 5 minutes of it. Like that's all you need. I do think this delivered on the dumb I was wanting this month, at least. Like, it is so brainless, but also like trying to be heady while also being super brainless. And I think it made me laugh in some ways that I maybe needed. Like, I just needed to mock this thing, and it gave me ample opportunity to do so.
Yeah. Last detail I'm just gonna mention here. I just popped back to Jason Statham working the console to send him to Happy Planet.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that they use that font that was everywhere in the early 2000s that kind of looks like Chinese characters, you know, that the Latin characters that look, you know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you mean.
I didn't realize they use that font for literally everything in this universe, like the signage,
kind of like the It's almost like the Stargate-ish, like almost like hieroglyphic-ish fonts.
No, it looks more like it's supposed to be like Chinese characters, except they're Latin characters. But like,
yeah. Interesting. Okay. Is it on the console? I want to go check them out.
Like I see like the exit sign on the wall has it
okay.
behind him and the computer interface, and it's just everywhere. And it's another one of those like, it's some like early 2000s Macromedia ass shit.
But that's what this is, right? Like this movie is just a distillation of all the things that like, presumably pop culture thought was cool around, you know, like the turn
right.
of the millennium.
Yes. Like guaranteed there was at least one Xbox game that used the same font.
Probably.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'm glad we watched it. I was going to go back to this movie eventually someday because I eventually go back to all things. But I think I correctly rated it when I first saw it. This is not a good movie. It is pretty stupid, at least.
Yeah, it's pretty dumb. I'm not like mad I watched it.
No, me either. Now, Vinny.
Yeah.
It's time to place Ooh. The one. I assume not at number one.
No. No. This is going to be a tough one to place. I think just barely squeaks out over Ghost of Mars.
Just above it.
I think just above it. I hadn't placed it yet because I wasn't quite sure where I wanted to put it. I think it doesn't break the Free Jack threshold. I think I'm just putting it right above Ghost of Mars.
Okay.
Yeah.
I kind of have it in that same general range. I put it slightly higher just because I think there's a couple of things in this movie I don't hate. I have it at number 86 overall. It is between The Rocketeer and Free Jack.
Okay. Yeah. I think Free Jack is not great, but I think Free Jack is more audacious. I think Free Jack, to me...
It's more audacious. It's also more rickety, I think, than this movie is.
Free Jack? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a dumb, fun popcorn flick, and that's what it was for me. And I'm glad we watched it. I had fun watching it.
Yeah. And I'll say again, a good new metal needle drop will always earn you an extra star with me, especially if you really lean into how dumb it is.
Yeah. I think I remembered it being a little more like seminal, I guess maybe is the word. A little more like, oh, there's a pre the one and a post the one filmmaking
not at
world.
All. No, not even remotely.
Yeah. Yeah. It does. Well, it's kind of like 360-esque, you know, like early Xbox or late Xbox. Just stink on it.
Yeah. No, it smells like dorm room and Halo sessions, you know, like that's what this movie is.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But in the proto forever, we have figured out how to just make ongoing franchises by doing multiverse stuff. I'll give it the credit of doing a multiverse thing before multiverses were everywhere.
Were everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, that's cool. I mean,
I'm not going to say their design for it was particularly smart or good, but yeah. They at least tried something.
Buckaroo Banzai is multiverse, right?
Oh, God, it's been so long since I saw that. I thought that was more time travel and space travel, but I could be wrong.
We'll just have to go back. During Jeff Goldblum month, we'll have to go back.
I would be thrilled to go back to that movie at some point. Very fun.
Very dumb.
Also very fun and very dumb is our final movie for the month of November, coming up next week, Carl Weathers in Action Jackson.
All right.
Have either of you seen this?
Again, I thought I did, but, you know, it's in the mishmash, it's in the stew of my brain.
Yeah. I think if you have seen it, you will start to remember it as things progress. It is, here's all I will say. I'm not going to give too much context with this one because, Brad, I know you love coming into things sight unseen, but this was kind of intended, I think, to sort of launch Carl Weathers into the same sort of like action movie stratosphere as like a Stallone or a Schwarzenegger. Didn't quite have that budget, but it definitely had the feel of like, we're going to make you, this is going to be your big cop franchise kind of starter type thing. Did not happen for reasons that may become apparent when you watch the film. But it does have a pretty good cast of supporting characters. Carl Weathers is having a lot of fun, even if the movie is fairly terrible. I'm just looking forward to seeing it. I'm really looking forward to seeing what you guys think, because all these other movies have had like this kind of like sci-fi tinge.
Mm-hmm.
This is just straight up 80s cop action type shit.
When was this made?
88.
Okay.
Okay, so this is like right in the Predator time frame?
Literally the year after Predator.
Okay. That's like full on muscle bound Carl Weathers.
Oh, he is glistening in this movie. Glistening.
Like he spends half of his time on the Predator, like behind the scenes interview stuff, talking about pumping iron. So,
and it shows in this one, I'll say that.
And just to be clear, as I was just looking up the year for this as well, not the 2014 Action Jackson.
I forgot they did that.
Which is an Indian Hindi language film, which also looks amazing.
Don't watch that one. Don't watch that one, both for the podcast and maybe in general. I don't need to see that. No, I know about it, but I've never seen it. Yeah. Not important for what we are doing next week.
Okay, it's not going to tie together the bigger Action Jackson universe?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, good.
When we are done with that episode, we will talk about what we are doing in December. We are probably going to have a 1 week break on the Watchcast because I'm going to be traveling for the holidays and all of that. But we will have at least a couple of episodes in December before we go on our full holiday break. So we will announce that at the end of next week's episode.
They opened the government just for you, just so you can fly.
Great.
They did it.
Look, I'm looking forward to seeing family, but let's just say I have my reservations.
Mm-hmm.
But save your reservation for Action Jackson next week.
Nice.
And for now, I think we're going to go ahead and wrap up this Watchcast. As always, thank you, Brad. Thank you, Vinny.
Thank you.
And thank you to everyone who has been listening and watching along at home with us. We will see you next time.
Wow.